Welcome back, everybody. It's great to be able to talk with you again. Feels like it's been a while. We've got something pretty special today. So to set up what we're doing, at the end of last season, I think the second to last episode, we covered a book called Investigating Mediums. And if you'll recall, I mentioned that I personally knew two psychic mediums. Well, of course, people heard that and immediately reached out with questions about who they were and how I knew them. And it occurred to me that maybe they'd be willing to come on the show and talk with me about what it is they do. So I reached out to both of them, Cindy and Colleen, and they both agreed to be interviewed. So today we're going to talk to them and find out what it's really like to be a psychic medium. Cindy Valenzuela is a school psychologist who works with, tests, and counsels special needs students. She's a wife and mother and lives with her husband in South Pasadena. Colleen McKinney is a fashion tech entrepreneur. She lives with her husband and son in the Hollywood Hills. So, in this interview, we talk about what it actually feels like to be a psychic medium. How did it start for them? Why did it start? And what does it feel like to have spirits of those who have passed on be a constant part of your everyday life? It's a really fascinating interview. You know, I've been friends with these women for years and years, but we've never talked about what they do in quite exactly this way. And I got answers from them that really surprised me, so I think you're going to like it. Now, before we get into it, there is a little bit of housekeeping. There's been a change in our schedule. Now, I know that I said season 3 was going to begin next week on April 25th, but we've had to push that back. 2025, it turns out, has had a lot of surprises for me and my family. As John Lennon said, life is what happens when you're making other plans. And life has reared its ugly head and disrupted our plans. Don't worry, everybody is okay now. But the bottom line is that season 3 will now begin on June 13th, okay? So I will have more bonus episodes between now and then to tide you over, and then the official season, season 3, will begin on Friday, June 13th, okay? Now, one nice sort of coincidental plus that comes from all of this rescheduling is that our episodes will run all summer and fall, and then episode 10 will land exactly on Halloween, which is kind of perfect. Anyway, thank you guys for being so patient with us and understanding, and I'm so excited to bring you the new episodes. And in the meantime, like I said, there'll be some bonus episodes like this one, so keep an eye on your feed because there will be surprises. So, now, please enjoy my interview with psychic mediums and personal friends of mine, Cindy Valenzuela and Colleen McKinney. Here we go. I am so happy to have the two of you here. I am introducing Cindy Valenzuela and Colleen McKinney. Now you have their names. Now they are out in the world. Now we can say a proper hello to both of you. How are you?
Good.
Good. Excited to be here.
Yeah. Now, have you guys done tons of interviews about your medium abilities and your skills, probably?
No.
Maybe two.
Wait less. A second. I understood, Colleen, that this was an exclusive, that you had never spoken on the record about this.
No, you were my first one years ago.
Oh, it was still me. It is the third time we've talked.
And then one other, and that is it. So we're back to you. You're my go-to.
Okay, good. All right. I just want to make sure. All right. Oh boy, this is so great. So I talked about you guys a little bit, though I didn't give out your names, at the beginning of the Investigating Mediums episode. But I find it so strange now because this all happened within the last 10 years. Cindy, I'm thinking back to when I was on Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, because that's when we had brunch at your house.
Yeah.
Celebrating your husband's birthday, which was right around Halloween. And you said, come on to this brunch. I'm just inviting a few couples. And it's for Scott's birthday and we're having a special guest.
It was our anniversary celebration too.
Oh, right. Because like your anniversary is like...
It was like a joint thing. Yeah.
When's your anniversary?
November 8th. Yeah, November 8th.
Okay. So yeah, it's all right in that right Halloween time. Right. So then you called me like a few days before the brunch and said, I just want to make sure you are going to be there, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, why? And it's like, well, because the special guest, I want to make sure you see. And I was like, well.
And you were so excited. I knew you would be excited about it. That's why.
I was so excited. Because then Cindy says, well, we're going to have a psychic medium. And it's sort of a surprise guest. And I'm like, this is amazing. So I'm like, yes, I'm in. So we go to your house, lovely home, beautiful brunch set up. And I'm waiting basically for someone who looks like a cross between, you know, Kathy Bates and Ruth Bader Ginsburg, but in a muumuu and a turban to come flowing in.
Right.
Yeah, it's got to be a turban, right?
Purple eyeshadow.
Yeah.
Purple. Yes, that is what I'm thinking. I'm purple eyeshadow. And then Buffy the Vampire Slayer walks in.
The cutest, prettiest, sweetest person on the face of the earth, right?
She looks like she's a high school senior.
I know.
That was 10 years ago. So now she probably looks like she's in college. Yeah, your mentor.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just want to tell people what my experience of that day was. And then I want to get into kind of Cindy, your thing. And then Colleen will kind of come around to you. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're at this brunch. Marsha Brady, the medium.
Her name is Fleur.
Medium Fleur.
Yeah. Medium Fleur. She's right. Wonderful.
So she, now, you, Colleen, you know her.
Yes. Oh, you know her too?
Oh, yeah. So we'll get back. Yes.
Okay.
We're going to circle back.
Oh,
okay. Whole thing.
So we have our brunch. We sit down. Medium Fleur is there. She answers a few questions and then it's time to get into it. Now, here's the one thing that I really remember very, very clearly. There's a few things, but the one I remember the most clearly is there was a woman to my right.
Mm-hmm.
I think her name was Susan Lambert. Oh, no, it was further to my right, beyond her. There's another woman who was at a certain point engaging with Fleur. And Fleur said, okay, you, when your grandfather died, you were the first to know. Because you woke up in the night and saw him standing in your doorway. And this woman bursts into tears. Mm. Nodding, she says, yes, that is correct. And then Fleur says, he was in your doorway and you saw him and he was standing there and he was smoking. And she says, yes, that's right. And then Fleur says, a pipe.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman is just seized with sobbing. And then she continues talking about the grandfather and the relationship. And I just remember this moment because I was just like, now, wait a second. As this conversation is happening, I'm picturing it. I'm picturing a young girl in bed, waking up in the middle of the night, seeing her grandfather, seeing him standing in the doorway. I can see him now. I can see him. And then she says he was smoking. And I picture a cigarette. I mean, I think anyone would.
Right,
I think
right. The
listening audience right now is picturing a cigarette. And then Medium Fleur says, a pipe.
Right.
Which would have been like the fourth thing I would have guessed he was smoking.
Right.
And of course, that was exactly right. And I'm like, okay, well, what's happening here? This is either, it's the thing that strikes me so often where I'm like, okay, either this is a total lie that has been planned for my benefit. They've all been meeting for weeks to fool me and me alone. or she's seeing something. Something is happening here.
Yeah.
And when people are bursting into tears, and that woman was not the only one that day, when you're witnessing it, when you're sitting there watching it happen, and your skeptic mind is going, I'm sorry. I'm like, I think something is happening here, and it is accurate, and whatever medium Fleur is seeing is accurate to the lives of the people in the room. And some more than others. I mean, look, I am very open to it, but for me, she didn't really have much to say. And what she did have to say didn't really feel particularly impactful. So I was just sort of like, oh, okay, that feels like a general reading, but I'm cool. Clearly, other people, it was hitting a thing. Do you remember that?
Yep. Yep. And I remember you were the last one to be read that day. I remember she almost kind of didn't read you, and we're like, wait a minute, Rich didn't get a reading.
Right, like Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
So was that the first you knew her, or was that the first time you met her, Cindy?
Oh, no. I'd studied under Fleur for a while. And so I knew I'd wanted to have her over and had a group reading, and she's amazing. And so I mentored under her and she taught me quite a bit. Yeah, she's a wonderful teacher.
When did the classes or the mentorship start, and why did it start?
I actually got a reading from her shortly after my father-in-law passed. And I was just searching, just looking. And I've always been interested in this kind of stuff. And it ebbed and flowed as I was, you know, a young person. And when I started to have kids, I was, I stopped really being interested because my having kids just, you know, took over my life. And so it was this, my kids were older and my father-in-law passed. And so I started searching again for whatever. And so I had a reading from her, and she was so spot on with everything. And so I looked through her website, and she was having classes, but she was fairly unknown and fairly new at that point. She had classes, and I took a couple of classes from her, and she was just great. And so I just continued to take more and more and more classes from her, and more advanced classes. At that point, I think I had done several different, probably the beginner, the intermediate, and the advanced classes, and I knew her personally as well. So I said, hey, I'm having this, you know, brunch thing, and I paid her to do a group reading.
Right.
And she was getting more and more popular, so she was getting more and more expensive. And so I caught her right before she was really, her prices were really skyrocketing.
So Cindy, when you started this, and when you were you made a decision, you were like, okay, I'd like to take some workshops. I'd like to see if I can do this.
I think it was more than that. I think I kind of knew that I had abilities and interests, and I knew things, and you know, there was just kind of a knowing for me. But it wasn't until when I first started, I think for me, it was more of, you know, psychic abilities. I thought that there was more psychic abilities in myself. And it wasn't until I started taking classes from Fleur that I realized it was more mediumship, that was more my domain, my forte. I'm not one of those mediums that I'm not a Teresa Caputo. I don't go out and see spirit wherever I go. I'm very much the type of person that needs to call upon spirit. I need to meditate into it. I need to be focused. I need to be grounded. I need to allow it to come to me. I set clear boundaries. I say, you know, they're not allowed to bother me whenever I'm out and about. There's an occasion when I do go out and I do get hits on things, and you know, at your live show, when I'm like, oh, there is somebody here watching Rich, and it's just kind of a knowing, but it's not an overpowering kind of a thing. It's just like, there's somebody here watching Rich. But I don't feel like it really overpowers me.
Right. So, okay. So I just want to jump in.
Yes.
When I did my live show in Los Angeles last October, right. Cindy and her husband were there. And at the intermission, she said, there's someone standing behind you on the stage. And I literally did that thing where I look over my shoulder like, no, there isn't.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I'm, and I'm like, oh, wait, you're saying you're seeing someone. And you didn't, like, we were trying to figure out if it was like a relative of mine, which I don't ultimately think it was, but you said someone was there who appeared to be very, very interested in what I was saying. And there had also been a ghost story of a thing that had happened there earlier that week. Like, the venue itself is very, very, very old and feels like it should be haunted, but the guy who administers it had never had any experiences until the week of my live show, just a few days before.
Yeah.
And we talked about it, and you can hear it if you listen to my podcast, the episode, The Mammoth Mountain Poltergeist.
Yeah.
And you'll hear the whole story.
Yeah.
So anyway, so Cindy is like, I see someone. And then we're like, ooh, I wonder if that's the guy that was doing the ghost stuff.
Right.
But anyway, okay. So when you're taking the classes, is it you and 30 people in a conference room at the Holiday Inn? What are these classes like?
They're I don't think it's 30 people. It's more like 10. And they're in a smaller, not so much a conference room, but, you know, they're very intimate, you know, and you work on each other, you know, you read for each other. Sometimes they'll have people come in, you know, as you get more advanced, they'll have people come in from the outside that want readings, and then you practice on them.
What is medium Fleur saying to you? She's saying like, okay, the process is this. You know, first you look at what the person's wearing, and then you start guessing where they're from, and then you lie to them about.
Like, No. You work really hard on, and Colleen, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you work really hard on shutting down all of your ego and all of your thoughts, because the biggest thing about being a medium is shutting down your rational thought and really coming into it, thinking about just shutting down everything. So you're not looking at the person, and you're not looking at what they're wearing or what they're thinking or who they look like or what they look like. That's like the last thing you want to think about. You really want to go internal, and you really want to think about what it is that's coming in. And so that's why like I don't often get feelings from like I don't often get readings or hits outside of this, is because you really have to be attuned to what's going on inside of you to get hits. So like when you get a hit, when you're outside in the open, it really has to be strong, because you have to feel it strongly. So you have to really trust yourself. You have to really trust what you're getting and what you're feeling to be able to get the message across to the person.
What is that process that you go through? Because I recall you telling me that when you were doing personal readings, it was almost a process you would begin the night before. Can you walk us through that?
Oh yeah. And again, I don't want to take up the whole time, because I'm sure Colleen has her own process.
Get at it.
But it's really, for me, it's a long process. Like I don't take it lightly. That's why when I do readings, it's really an intense thing. Like I really meditate into it. It takes me a long time to meditate into it. I cleanse the whole house, and I take it very seriously. And that's why I don't do it lightly. So somebody that wants a reading has to also be taking it very seriously. And that's why sometimes when somebody's taking it as a joke, or somebody's, you know, not taking it real seriously, they don't often get a very good reading, because you have to really want it. You have to really take it seriously to be open enough to get the reading. So I have to meditate into it, and it's like a good hour, you know, the meditating and the cleansing the house and everything.
When you say cleansing the house,
that's saging the house. That's, you know, saging the crystals that you have around the house or in the room, saging the room that you've got, you know, making sure that the energy is clean in the room, making sure that you're clean, making sure that your energy is clean, making sure that your mind is calm, that your mind is clean. Yes.
And this is a meditative process. This is you sort of going inward and sort of saying these things to yourself. What is that self-talk?
Well, it's more about like releasing everything from the mind. Like when I meditated into this interview, it's like, you know, releasing all of my fears of what this could mean for me. You know, it's like releasing everything of what it, you know, like, give me the right words to speak so that people understand what, you know, we go through or what it means for us or what it means for them. And the messages that come through, it's actually really quite hard.
So when your mentor, when in this case, Medium Fleur is taking you through this, is she, I assume she's sort of helping facilitate the meditative state and giving you cues, but are there specific things she's saying like, okay, when you're doing this, here are the three things you must, like, what did she do in terms of guiding you?
Well, I think we do a meditation with her that is a, you know, she talks us through the meditation, you know, she walks it, you know, the meditation is, you know, she's talking us through it. So we're going through it and, you know, she's taking us deeper into the meditation. But prior to that, there's a lot of discussion about, you know, what mediumship is, you know, like what it actually means, what a mediumship reading is. And I think to make it clear to you and your audience, and this makes it clear in my head what it is, and it might make it clearer for you, is that it's a three-way communication. So it's a, let's just say it's a telephone call between spirit, me, and the sitter, this, you know, the person that wants the reading. So I am the intermediary between spirit and the person that is sitting. So it's the three person, right? So the spirit is communicating with me, who is communicating with the person that is sitting, right? So it's three ways. So the only person that can speak to the person that is sitting in front of me is I'm the only one that can speak to the person sitting in front of me, right? So spirit can only speak to me and I can only speak to this person in front of me. So the spirit needs to give me messages that I can understand so that I can give to the sitter, right?
Right.
So spirit needs to make sure that I understand the message well enough to be able to communicate to the sitter. So sometimes I misunderstand the message. So they need to be able to say a message to me well enough so that I can then say it to the sitter and then have the sitter understand it. But sometimes I misunderstand it.
And if you had the experience of conveying something to a sitter and then, but the spirit is like waving their hands going, no.
Yeah, it's completely wrong. It's completely wrong. And I'm going to give you an example of one that is so clear in my head. So I had a city. And I kept seeing, I had a little stuffed turtle and it was like about this big. And I kept seeing this turtle and it kept flashing in my face. It kept flashing in my face. It was so clear. And I kept saying to this person, who had the turtle? I keep seeing a turtle. And then like, no, there's no turtle. Did somebody use a pet name? Did somebody call him Turtle? Was that a pet name? No, Turtle. Turtle means nothing to me. Who had a pet turtle? Did they have a stuffed turtle that they love? Nope. Turtle means nothing to me. Okay, let's move on. And the pet turtle, it was like four or five times that this turtle kept coming back to my face. And I'm like, okay, I see the turtle again. What does a turtle mean? And they're like, nothing. They were like kind of getting mad at me. And I'm like, okay, well, I had this turtle. The turtle I'm seeing is the one I had. And I named him Tucker. And they said, oh yeah, Tucker was the name of the part this person that that had passed away. That was his name in the series that he was, in. So I was in, misinterpreting the message. I kept looking at Turtle. I kept thinking it was Turtle, but I kept seeing the turtle because, but I kept seeing him because it was an actual name, Tucker, that I had named this stuffed turtle. So,
so this was a message to you. You had a turtle named Tucker.
Tucker.
And the person was showing you a turtle to get you to say the name Tucker.
Tucker,
that you
correct.
Then said to the sitter, and they went, said, oh,
that
Tucker
means something.
Sense.
Yeah, that means something
wow.
to me. And it and Tucker was the actual person that had passed. So now we knew who we were talking about. And the spirit kept putting this stuffed turtle in my face, this is what I want you to wow. say to them. I want you to say Tucker, but I kept misinterpreting the message because I'd like, you know,
that's ooh. Amazing.
So that's the kind of thing. So we're fallible, right? As mediums, we're fallible. We get messages wrong. And so, you know, we can only do as much as we can as human beings.
It feels like this sort of interdimensional game of charades
yeah.
and you're trying to pick
exactly.
up on the cues, right?
Exactly.
Now, are you seeing, oh, we're going to give her a little bit of time to drink because we're all drinking here because it's Richard Haddam's Paranormal
Bookshelf.
Ketchup.
That
ketchup.
Was a hard one to explain. Sorry.
Right.
That
was
good. That, you did a really good job, by the way. You did a really good job.
Everyone take a big gulp. It's like a drinking game. Okay.
Kind of.
Yeah. Anytime spirit successfully communicates,
yes.
you take a shot. All right. I remember you telling me that part of the process is trusting yourself, trusting the things you
yes.
see, because you
they're
there's this level.
Right.
And I think people get confused because they're like, oh, if you're a medium, you know exactly what's going on
right.
and you're seeing the thing and they're telling you you're in charge.
Right.
But you're like, okay, I don't know why they're showing me
right.
a rowboat. And I feel stupid just saying rowboat, but that's what, it's almost like improv. It's like, that's what I'm supposed to do. Yes, and just accept and go with it. Is that true?
Yes. And sometimes you'll say it and it means nothing to the person. And then they'll take it home. And then later they'll come back and like, oh my God, you said, remember when you said such and such a thing? And then they'll remember it days later. Sometimes they'll say, no, it meant nothing to me. But that's what it is. You just have to trust yourself. And if it's really a strong message, it'll come back to you. Like one time I was giving a reading to a personal friend and I said, I just keep seeing baseball. I just keep seeing going to the Dodger game, like going to baseball. And she said, that is what my dad and I did every weekend. We would go to Dodger games all the time in the summer. And I did not know this about her because she doesn't really like sports, but she says, when my father was alive and I was a kid, that's all we did. That's what he would take me to do. And I didn't like it, but I would go with him every weekend. And so I was supposed to say baseball, but what I knew of her as a person, she didn't like baseball.
Right. You weren't, this is not something. And to, and then to give the listener at home context, I was doing the math. Cindy, you and I have known each other for 30 years.
Oh my God, Rich, I'm not that old. You might be.
Right. What, you're not 30? Like, I met you the day you were born, and now you're 30.
Exactly.
I met you in winter, spring of 95, because we were working on a reality check
yeah.
with your lovely husband, Scott.
Yes.
Okay, because I was going back, I'm like, well, so how long, like, what is, and so I've known you that long, but I did not know that you were, that you yourself, like, at the time that we all had that brunch, I didn't know that you were developing your psychic and
that's
intuitive
right.
abilities. It was a little bit later that you shared that. I think you were kind of not quite advertising that to the world
right.
yet, right?
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
This is my coming out, Rich.
I love it. Oh, make it sound so hot. All right. All right. Now let's, okay, Colleen is over here. Now Colleen has had
I'm
way
so
too much to drink.
So excited to hear
so
Colleen's story.
We got to
yeah,
talk to her
so
now before she totally leaves us. Colleen,
yeah,
I'm so happy
says,
to see you. Welcome.
Thank you. So excited to be here.
Okay, Colleen, now I'm doing the math on you. I think I've known you for 9 years.
I think so. That sounds right.
Okay, because I'm going back to when
nine,
your husband
ten,
and
yes,
I worked.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did our show together, and now and then I met you very soon after that because we all went out to dinner, and then
yeah.
Okay, so take us through kind of what happened that week. Now, yeah, I'm sorry. You can go back further if you want, because I know that you've had strange experiences your whole life, right? You've seen things, or what was your relationship to the other world?
Yeah.
Kind of up until that point.
It's been so complicated. I was the kid in the, you know, Irish Catholic family that saw ghosts. And so from the earliest I can remember, I would see them around, but they looked kind of like people to me, but they never talked. And I remember I was never scared. I just always kind of saw them around. And
they looked like solid people. Like, did you actually think?
They looked more solid, but I distinctly remember never really seeing their faces. Ooh. And so that was the weird thing for me. It wasn't scary. It just was different. Like, I remember I would notice
some people don't have faces. It's no big deal.
That sounds terrifying. Weirdly, yeah. I don't remember being that scared as a kid, but I remember like noticing different things, like, oh, he always wore a hat, but I never really remember their faces. I just remember them being around. And when I was like six, I packed a kit, and I look back on this stuff now, because at the time nothing really made, like, it all felt normal, but I didn't really understand it, but I packed a kit and a notebook, and I found the notebooks, and they're like chicken scratch. But I would ghost hunt in my neighborhood, and I would go to my neighbors' houses and tell them I can find their ghosts. And my poor single mom, only child, was like, can you stop doing that?
And I would have been your best friend.
Right? I wish we lived on the same block, because I was the little weirdo on the block who would take my kit and ghost hunt in everyone. And like these old ladies would like be like, okay, do you want some cookies? Like, can you find my ghosts? I don't know. And like I would stick things down their vents, and like it was weird.
What was in the kit?
That's a good question.
All I remember, I had a notebook and a pen or a pencil, but I had a tube, and I would go right to their vents. I don't know why, but this is all I remember. And my best friend, who's still my best friend, she was my best friend then, remembers it too. And she's like, you would just go with these like weird tubes and stick them in their vents and like listen. I don't know. But that's like...
That is the most chilling. I'm using that.
Okay.
That is amazing.
It's real. And then the old ladies, because I had a lot of old ladies on the block, they would just give me cookies and then like send me on my way to the next house. Like, get this freak out of here. I don't know. Very nice. But
do you have any memory of ever going into someone's house and really being like, oh, I'm seeing you have ghosts?
I really felt like I don't remember visuals, but I remember feeling like I always found them. Like, they were always kind of, I could like sense or feel, like, I don't know. And then I would write a bunch of stuff down in my brain. I don't know. I remember always because I always saw them at our house. Like, there was a guy who always walked back and forth across our porch with this black hat on. And I remember him distinctly. I just remember seeing them everywhere. And I finally told my mom, and she was so terrified that it got shut down very quickly. Like, she was so scared of it.
She asked you.
No.
She was like, no, this is no bueno.
And my grandmother lived directly across the street, because when my parents got divorced, my mom moved where she could get some help. And I was very little, so she moved right across the street from my grandma. And my grandmother was hardcore Catholic. And so this was all like scary to them. Like, I was scary to them. And so it all got shut down very early on. But I still saw them. I just learned not to talk about it, you know?
Wow.
And then, so, as, yeah, go ahead.
So it was not a matter of like mom didn't get it, but grandma was like, oh, yeah. I do it too. There was no, was there any relative or anyone in your life who?
No one. I had zero support system and understanding of it. My mom was a very cool person. But I think at that point in her life, she was just overwhelmed. She was a single mom and like she was working full time and it was just too much. Like she didn't follow, like my grandmother was very Catholic. My mom very much moved away from all of that. But it scared her and she didn't want me to be weird, I think probably.
Right. Like, right. Yeah. That's...
So she just was like, let's let this go. Yeah.
As a parent, you understand.
Yeah.
That's like, I do. Just and I'm,
don't
yeah.
be weird.
Just you don't need this, you know?
Right.
Okay, later, because I never let it go. So I dragged her through it for years, but more in a taunting way, but no. So she shut it. It all got very shut down at a very young age for me.
Right.
Okay. So now you go, now you're back. You're mm-hmm. a little older. You're in high school, college.
Yep.
Does it start to go away because you shut it down or don't talk about it? Or is it always there? What was it like in later years?
It went fully away. I just grew up being so interested. Like I remember running home to watch Sylvia Brown on Montel Williams, mm-hmm. like running home. And I couldn't get enough of her because she was the only person I had ever heard of that understood the things that I was like thinking or feeling yep. or like, yep. Like it was like my yep. world. Like I was fascinated. And she would talk so openly about it and no one talked about it, you know, but she would just get out there and talk about all these things. And I loved her. So I would get her books and I would like read them at night, you know?
Right.
And then when I got to college, it came flying back, but everyone thought maybe I was on drugs and I wasn't, but
well,
not all the time. Mostly not. When I lived in a house, it was my junior year with 8 girls. And that entire year was chaos in that house. There was a ghost in that house. I've never experienced a ghost like that. It was a full ghost. It wasn't just a spirit coming in. There was a ghost, a little girl in that house. And the entire year, all my roommates, this was an 8, like we 8 of us in this giant house, they all slept in one bedroom that entire year, except what? me downstairs by myself in my room. Cause they were like, she can deal with the ghost. She brought the ghost. She has the good, like all the things. And what? It was insane. There was so much going on in that house. And the school newspaper interviewed me and I sounded crazy. Everyone thought I was crazy. I've had so many moments in my life where everyone thinks I'm insane. I'm like, they're just, I can't help it. They're around. I don't know. It's so insane. Yeah.
You always seem so normal to me compared to your husband.
Right? Yes, right. Exactly. By the way, I'm the more normal one. And I get all the bad rep for being the wackadoo.
Okay. So all this stuff is happening in your life and the listener, yeah. obviously, and I are, it's so hard when you're not like that. I'm not like that. So it's like, if that's going on, like I would be going out of my mind. I would be freaking out. I wouldn't know what to do.
Me too.
Like, how did it feel?
You just want to be normal. So like, to me, like I had such a normal life. Like I went to Michigan State and I was with my like friends and we were going, doing all these things and like studying and partying and all the stuff, you know? And then I'm like, oh, but there's a little girl ghost running through my bedroom at night. Like it's so weird how to integrate it. And I wasn't for so long. It felt so normal to me that they all coexisted. And then it didn't. And then that's when I really struggled. Cause I was like, how do I balance being a really normal person? I was in fashion and I had a great career and I have a husband who's a writer and I have this kid now. And like how, and then, but I'm like talking to dead people. Like how do you, I had a really, really hard time with that.
Okay, because I know that things ramped up. I remember that sort of
massively.
And wow. So before the ramp up, was there communication back and forth or was it just, I'm mm-hmm. there, Was it like they're out there and then one day they were right here in front of you?
Nothing. I had shut it out completely. I always loved watching like a I watched, you know, the Tyler Henry something on Netflix, or I loved I've always been into it. I love ghost stories. I love all that stuff. No, I had nothing until it went completely like 0 to 1,000 and that was it.
But I have to tell you though, if you try and shut it off, like if you shut it down, they come at you.
They come at you hard.
You can't shut it down. Like, and I'm not saying in a scary way. I'm not saying because spirit is kind and spirit is beautiful, but once you have it, you can't shut it down. You can have it dormant for a little while and then they're like, we need you. Yeah. Like, we need
you. Because it's your path. You're supposed to be on it.
And the people out there need you. And I got to tell you though, before this podcast, like it was like nothing was happening. And they started waking me up in the middle of the night. Like, they knew that I was like, they're like touching me. I had to actually stop them and say, I'm sorry, but this is not okay. I need to sleep. You cannot wake me up in the middle of the night. You cannot. They started talking in my ears at night. And I'm like, this is not okay. I've got to sleep. You can't touch me. You can't talk to me. If you want to give me messages, it's during the day when I'm awake, but I need to sleep at night.
In anticipation.
And so that's like, I agree with Colleen. It's like, no, they'll come at you. If you try and have it shut it down, you can't.
Yeah.
So in anticipation of this podcast, you're saying,
well, that's what I think. I mean, that's the only thing I can Colleen, think of.
Did you get an uptick?
Yeah. This week has been mental. So I gotta tell you,
I am so proud of myself.
See what you
You're
did,
rallying
Rich?
The troops. Yep.
Okay. So this is okay.
No, I love it.
Okay, so do you and I wanted to hear the story of that week, but do you think there was something that. Because I know it was right after you had your first kiddo, and was that like what triggered it? What was the thing?
It was before I got pregnant, actually.
Oh,
it was
but
it was all very closely tied. So you're right. I had left I had started this company, and it was based in San Francisco, and it was a huge part of my life, and it was very exciting. All was great. I had a huge falling out with my business partner. And it all kind of was falling apart at that point very quickly. And so I left, and I it's so funny, like, because it's back to kind of what Cindy's saying, like, it's all, you're always being redirected back to it. If this is what your path is, I had this book I had gotten so many years ago, and we'll get back to Fleur because it was after I saw Fleur. Called You Are Psychic or something like, I think it's You Are Psychic by Deborah Katz. And I bought it so many years ago, and I pulled it out of my closet. It was right after I left this company. And I was kind of in this place of like, I don't know what I am going to do next, but like, and I had, my brain was all over the place, and I sat down and I was like, I just want to be a medium. It's what I've always wanted to be. But it was the first time I actually let myself accept that that is what I've always wanted to be. And my friend Rhonda came over, and I told her, and she was one of the few people I mentioned it to, I was just like, I want to be a medium. Like, this is it. Like, and I pull this book or a psychic, like, but this is my world. This is my world. Like, what am I doing? And it very quickly, I just was like, oh, whatever. So I started going on interviews for fashion stuff and, you know, tech stuff or whatever. But I'm telling you, that was the moment it blasted open. And it sounds insane, but it blasted
open.
Okay, so like, what happened? What was what was that week?
Ask and it shall be.
It was so crazy, and I know, Rich, we've talked about it. I'll speed through the version of it, but it.
Well, hang on. You don't need to speed through it, but let me ask you: can you timestamp it for us?
So November, I believe it was 2017. Yes, it was. It was my birthday.
What's your birthday?
November 19th.
Okay.
Literally on my birthday, and I had felt like weird stuff like around, but like I was so out of touch with this side of myself for so long. I didn't really tune into it, except that I had started reading this Deborah Katz book, and I went to get coffee with Bill, my husband. It was a Sunday, and I remember going to the coffee shop, and I could hear everything. I could hear every freaking conversation. I could hear everything. It was like everything was like super heightened, and I started to like freak out. So I'm like, let's go home. I don't know what's going on. Like, I feel like I'm freaking out. Like, something's wrong with me. So like, let's go home. So go home. Bill goes off to write in the other room, and I'm in the bedroom, and I'm like trying to think about where we're going to go for dinner for my birthday. And I got blasted with this wave of like energy, like something. And I looked up, and this is where I almost like apologizing to people, because I'm like, I know it sounds crazy, but there was a light, like a ball of light in the corner, and like a wave. It was like almost like you could see the air moving and like this weird wave. And I heard so loudly in my ears, "We are here." That was it. We are here. And I started to sob.
Yeah.
And I cried, and I felt it, and it felt so beautiful and overwhelmingly beautiful. And I just looked around, and I was like, what the fuck is happening? Like, I don't know what this is, but it felt amazing, and I'm seeing shit, and I'm feeling shit, and like everything was crazy.
So when did I come back into it?
So this is it. That was my moment. So anyways, that was November. December, so all the shit starts happening. I'm seeing and hearing shit all night long. Spirits are coming in. I'm like getting completely inundated. And Rich, we went to your house for Christmas Eve. And my height of crazy. Like, I'm not joking in a way, and this sounds totally batshit crazy, but like I would walk into a room and like lights would go out. Like it was so massively insane, intense. I would go to sleep at night and my body was like vibrating almost out of my body. Like I was getting these energy rushes. I didn't know what was happening to me. I was freaking out. I'm trying to pretend everything's fine, because my husband was like, I'm like, everything's good. Everything's good. I haven't slept in like days. Like I'm like crazy. And so anyways, we go to your house. Do you remember? We went to your house. The lights in the kitchen went out. There was like a power thing that went out.
You're like, that's me.
I'm not joking. That was me. And I know it sounds insane. It sounds insane. But everywhere I went, the power would freaking go out for those like 2 weeks. Like, and I know it sounds crazy. It sounds crazy. So I can't even tell people this, but I'm telling you this. We went to your house and all of a sudden your lights went out. And I was like, and Bill Colleen, looked at me, because at that point he knew. Like, and he goes,
you were like, you ruined my
party.
What
are you doing? I was like, what are you, I can't stop it.
Everyone complained about that party, and now I know why.
No. It went back on quickly, but there were so many weird things that were happening. And I'm really on, like, cut me off now, because it was just, that was the buildup. And then all the spirits started coming through, and then I couldn't stop it. And then I had no boundaries, which is what Cindy was talking about. So then I had to learn how to create boundaries, because they would come all night long and I didn't know how to stop it.
Mm-hmm. And it's not scary. They're lovely and it's beautiful. And it's hard to, I mean, like when you talk about it, it sounds horrifying and it sounds scary. It's like they wake you up in the middle of the night and I should be terrified. Like when somebody touches you and you feel it like wakes you up, it should be terrifying, but it's not. And this is like, no, you just can't touch me. I understand you want to say something to me. I understand that there's a message here, but you can't do it right now. I need sleep.
Yes.
And so like just the boundaries that you have to put, and they listen and they understand and they know, and it's just, and that's the kind of thing that you learn as you're taking classes that you don't know when you're in the midst of, you know, like Colleen experienced, you know, when you're a newbie and you're just kind of like, when it comes rushing out to you, that you don't know that you have to set boundaries because they're going to take advantage. It's like, oh my God, we've got somebody that can communicate to all the people that we love. Like there's so much that we wanted to share with the world. We're excited. This is like wonderful. It's like, hey, we got somebody that can hear us.
Yeah.
But you know, Colleen needs to, you know, set the boundaries and say, no, you know, this is not something that, you know, we can do. They're excited.
So when it happened, what was that first thing that happened? I seem to recall you talking about footsteps.
Oh, well, okay. So it got real wild. And you know, my husband is like, I mean, God bless him. He is not this. It was a real challenge. So I hid it for a long time. And Rich knows, we all have talked many times about this, but yes. When it first started, and I'm gonna go through this quickly because it was the main thing. There was a woman that kept coming in, and I didn't know what was happening. This was not my world. And every night I would hear these like footsteps, literally, like it was like a joke, like a haunted house. I'm like coming into my bedroom, but I would hear this woman's voice, and it was like muffled, and then all of a sudden it became very clear. My smoke detector went off at 3 a.m. And the split second after it went off, I heard my name. And I was like, oh, she's using like that frequency or something. Like, I didn't know. And so it went off again, and it was, my name is Mary. My name is Mary. What? And then Bill, of course, wakes up and is like changing the batteries. And I'm like, not the batteries. Like, you can go back to bed. I just needed to get this info. And Bill's like, what's happening here? I'm like, I don't know. Just go to sleep. My name is Mary. And at first, I thought it was my name is Maggie because my mom's name is Maggie. But I was like, this is certainly not my mom's voice. It felt a lot more like hoarse. And so my name is Mary. And I was like, okay. And then I would lay down and I would get all these images. And it was the first time I was like, oh, is that what this is? Like, is that what a medium is? Like, you get these images, because I would lay down, but they weren't my images. They were like memories from somebody else going through my head. And I saw their Christmases. I saw them at the, like, and like at the apple orchard, but it wasn't this woman. And I was like trying to understand what I was seeing. And then I realized I got this flash, like so fast, of this girl I went to high school with, who at that point I hadn't spoken to her in 18 years, like no contact, no idea. And her name was Allie. And I was very clear immediately, this was her mom. And so that was where it really got wild for me, because I was seeing images of Allie's life and her childhood, and they weren't my images. They weren't my memories. I was seeing somebody else's memories. And so I kind of sat with that and I wrote a lot of it down. And then she started talking to me and I could hear her, but it wasn't like the way in my head it would come out. Like I didn't hear her like voice in my, like it was like a train of thought almost, but it was clearly not my own. And so that's where I started to learn, oh, this is how they're communicating. Mm-hmm. Maybe like I don't know. I really didn't know, and I didn't anticipate it, so I was kind of figuring it out as I went. And so the very quick version of this is very funny, but I was so freaked out. So I was like, I'm going to go get my nails done because I need to do something normal. And I went to go get my nails done. And I literally heard her mom in my ear being like, you need to tell her. And I felt like Whoopi Goldberg in like
right.
Ghost.
Right. Right.
The woman's like yelling at me and I'm getting my nails done and I'm just trying to be normal and I don't know what's happening. And she's like, you need to tell her, Ellie. You need to tell her now. And so I like sat there in the nail salon and I like went on Facebook and I found Allie and I like messaged her and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm so sorry if this is weird and you don't have to respond to this because I haven't talked to you in like 18 years. But I think I have a message for your mom. And is your mom named Mary? Like, I don't know. And she wrote me back in 30 seconds. And she was like, oh my God, yes, my mom's named Mary. She died 6 months ago. I'm devastated. Can I call you? And I was like, oh, shit. Like, I'm in it.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
And that's how I learned. It was crazy. But I got thrown into the fire, I feel like. And I talked to her and it's all been great. But like, since then, it's been a backtracking of like, learning and understanding and releasing self-doubt and all that the right. self-doubt is so massive and all so that huge. To like get it because that almost was easy. It got so thrown at me that I didn't even have control of it. But then you want control and boundaries. So you put all that in and then you kind of have to start from like scratch to like learn how to do it your way and not their way. So that's my adventure.
So Cindy, this all sounds very familiar
amazing.
To you.
Amazing. Amazing, Colleen. Yes.
And this is like, you're hearing this and you're like, that mimics my experience.
No, Colleen's like, I've never, there's a little bit of jealousy here, Colleen. Like I've never had this like, boom, like where like I've got this like clear story where like, I've got to tell this message to this person. It's like, it's so clear. No, mine has been slow but steady. And I've always had this like knowing since I was a little girl, you know, like little by little, I've just had this knowing and I didn't go ghost hunting since I was a kid, but there's always been
this
interest.
I think you're in a better place with that.
There's always been this interest for me since I was a child in all of the paranormal. I've always been interested in it and it's love always it. Been like kind of a knowing for me. It's always been a knowing of things that were to come, of knowing of what to do next and what's to come for like my siblings and, you know, my family. But so it's always just kind of been a little baby steps for me.
Can I say like, I've always been envious of that. Like I never felt like I was in tune with it. Like I never felt like I understood the like psychic abilities or I never had the like clear vision of something or the dream. Like, so I'm envious of that.
So Cindy, you were telling me recently that there was a little while there where you were meeting with clients and this was all sort of just like word of mouth. You weren't, well, you didn't have a website or something.
No.
And then
it's all word of mouth.
You were doing that for a while and it sounds like it was fairly successful. Like people were reflecting back to you. Yes, this has been an accurate and a meaningful reading.
Yeah.
And then, but it also sounds like recently you've kind of put the brakes on.
Pulled back. My mom passed away in July and I couldn't. And I don't think I'm ready to go back to reading right now, but yeah. There was a time when I was reading pretty regularly and I started charging, because it really, and Colleen, you know, you can chime in. It's really taxing. It's a real taxing kind of a thing. It's beautiful. It's rewarding. It's something that I love doing. And after I do it every single time, I'm like, oh my God, this is the best thing in the world. This is like what I want to do forever. But there's a toll that takes you. Like I'm starving after, like I'm ravished after, like I want to eat, like just, I just can't stop eating after, it's a long, you know, you have to prepare for it. So I did start charging for it. And And the other thing about charging is that you get people that really want, that really, there's a buy-in when you charge somebody for it. Somebody that takes it seriously, that really has interest in connecting with their loved one that has passed. And so you don't want somebody that's going to come in just to experience it, or just for the fun of it, or it's just kind of an experiment, you know. People that don't take it serious, you know, it's you don't really get a good reading from them.
Does that have to do with the level of, I want to say, grief the person is experiencing? Does that actually facilitate?
Well, I think you don't want to get somebody's fresh grief. I think you have to be ready for the messages. And so I usually don't want to read somebody that has had, you know, a recent passing. So a rule of thumb for me is, you know, at least 6 months.
Now, forgive me if this is somehow insensitive, but I kind of want to ask you about your mother's passing, which I was aware of, and how that has affected you. And what I want to say, why exactly has that made you feel like you want to pull back? Because I'm just going to say that I think some people might just assume, oh, well, wouldn't you want to immediately get in touch with your mom or something?
Yeah. Like,
how does that feel?
There's a sense for me, and I've thought about this. There's a sense for me of the rawness. You know, I've tried to connect with her and she really hasn't come to me, which I find very interesting. But I think she knows I'm not ready. I think that there's a sense for me that I'm not ready. I've had interactions and I've had connections with her, but I think that there's a sense that I'm not ready, and I think she knows it. And so I'm more ready now than I was, you know, a few months ago. So I think Rich, this podcast has kind of put me on kind of like a little trail towards getting there again. And so I got to tell you, it's really the universe has a way of, and spirit has a way of putting me in the path of what I need to do. Sometimes all I need to do is say, I'm ready to do readings again, and just kind of put that thought in my head. And sometimes I'll just say, Scott, you know, I'm kind of missing doing readings. And then the next week I'll get like three people texting me, hey, are you doing readings? I have a friend that really is interested in doing a reading. And then I'll schedule three readings.
I hope that it's a positive path that you're on. And the only thing I can compare it to is the creative impulse that waxes and wanes, as I talked about in that episode, in which I continue to struggle with. But is the feeling, I just want to take one more pass at this, because you, in your private life and in your quiet moment, reaching out to your mom, and then you seeing a client and opening yourself up, are those two things so close together that it's almost like, if I do one, it's a little too close to the other.
Yeah. Like sometimes if I'm meditating too, sometimes I'll feel my mom closer, and it's really raw. I feel like it's really raw, and it's kind of, you know, hard to meditate into that space. And so I just feel like I have to be stronger, you know, and I feel like I have to be strong enough to be able to impart messages of grief to other people. If I can't hold a space myself for my own self, how am I going to be able to hold a space for other people? Sometimes when, and Colleen, I don't know if you've had this feeling, like sometimes when I'm imparting messages to other people, like I'll cry. I'll feel physically a lot of what they're feeling, of the person that has passed. Like if they have stomach issues, or if they've had, you know, heart issues or pains, or you know, sometimes when, you know, people have had, like, I don't know, I've had younger kids, you know, past that have had ADHD, and I feel like the attention deficit, like I feel the activity levels. You can feel the physicalness of these people. And so I think that if if I'm to feel the grief of these people, it might just be a little bit overwhelming for me right now, because the grief of my mom, I was very close to my mom, might be a little bit too overwhelming for me at right. this point in my life. So I think I have to be a little stronger. But I know if I say to Spirit, I'm ready to do more readings, I know they'll come. I know they'll come.
Colleen, have you experienced something like this, the loss of someone during the time of this, that has made it more complicated for you, or has that not happened? I hope it hasn't.
Well, yes and no. I mean, I lost my parents a while back. But what's really interesting, Cindy, is that I lost my mom in 2012, and I was desperate to see a medium. And the first medium I saw was Floor. It was Nora Stone back then.
Nora Stone. Yeah, she was Nora Stone when I first had her. Too.
Yes. And that is how, and she
funny.
Literally changed my life. I yep. was so deep in grief, and I was angry because I knew I was, even though I had shut it down for years, I knew I had some way of connecting with Spirit, even though I didn't really know what I was thinking that meant. And I couldn't connect with her because the grief was so heavy that there was no way I was even going to be able to. But I didn't see that at the time. I just was so angry about her not coming in my dreams or something. Like, I'm like, something. Like, she was like my best friend in the world, yeah, you know? Yeah. And so I went to Floor, and it was literally life-changing. And I had gone to her many times after that. She really changed my life.
She's amazing.
She's amazing. And what's crazy is the mentor I ended up getting worked very closely with Floor. So they know each other. It was. So I know what you're saying. And it's a very impossible grief to get through. It's very hard to do on your own. It's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Colleen,
I'll get there.
You will. You know, you're way ahead now. I was kind of floundering at that point. Yeah. You know, you just got to get there. It takes time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Colleen, do you do you meet with people? Do you have clients, and do you charge? And how do you do it? Or do you do it?
I do. I spent many years kind of in hiding, as you know, Rich. And then quite a few years doing readings for free to just like almost like make extra sure that I know what I'm doing, you know? And I had so much self-doubt that it wasn't that I didn't believe I could do it. I had so much anxiety around it. Like, I would do a reading and I would get so anxious. Like, and then the anxiety brings your vibration right down. So it's super hard then, right? To like tune in. So you're in this like weird battle of like, get your mind out of it. Cause your mind can't be in it. You have to have your intuition like overflowing and your mind in the back, and you just have to be an open channel. But when that anxiety kicks in, it makes it hard. As Cindy mentioned earlier, so hard. So I spent a long time. It wasn't even so much like that I needed to prove I could talk to Spirit. I knew it was more, how do I break through the anxiety, like the performance anxiety almost. Like, that was the killer for me.
Absolutely.
Like, every time I'm like, what if they won't come in? What if I fail? What if I say something wrong? What happens if I, like, it was so hard.
So
that
now
took me a long time. So now I'm now, yeah, go
yeah,
back.
So how is it? How, well, I mean,
now I'm good.
Now, and do you meet with people every week now? Like, is it a thing that now regularly do?
It's interesting. So I took a lot of time off this past year, because I felt like I was doing a lot of readings. I was getting frustrated in ways. And I think it's because I was giving so much of my time and my energy for free. And it, at a certain point, breaks you, because like all of a sudden I'm like giving my week away, and it's like, I'm not, I'm like, and I've given all my energy away, and it's all for free. And that's so good for a long time to like learn and grow. I passed that point. So then I was like, I have to stop. Cindy, I feel like we're on the same page. Yep. I had to stop. And I did a lot of deep self-healing, which I had not areas I needed to really like focus on. So I tapped into new modalities. I was doing a lot of work. And now I'm very much coming back, but like charging. And this is my now full-time job, which has never been that. So I'm in it, but like only very recently, like I'm talking like very recently. This okay. has been a
I'm
journey.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you, Cindy. It's a journey.
And it is so hard. It is so hard to be that. It is so hard,
so hard.
To feel worthy of that, to feel yes. like you've got this talent, if you've got this gift that you're charging for, but it is your time. It is your energy. It is your,
so much energy. It when is you're yourself, talking about, you like meditate is, the night before. I'm like, yes, like people have no idea.
It is your soul. It is your soul. You
have to put
giving,
into it.
You're giving yeah. of your yes. soul. To this,
so
like
much.
It is
it's
a
so
lot.
Much. It's and, so much, and people
and
are like,
I don't
oh,
think
can
people
just, like,
realize
tune
that.
In real quick. I'm like, yeah, no problem. It's gonna take me like an hour to get in. That
no,
space.
It really is really
I'm
hard.
Like, tune in. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. So in our audience right now,
proud of you.
You know
you're
there
proud
are people.
Of you.
What?
I'm proud of her.
Oh,
and we're proud
yeah.
of each other. So good.
And I know that you're both proud of me. All right.
Yeah, so course, proud of you,
course,
Rich.
Of course.
I was going to say in our audience now, I am sure there are people either, you know, full grown adults or young people who are like, oh my God, this is the story of my life. I'm feeling those things. I'm yeah. going through those things. But the early stages, what would you say to those? What would you say to a little kid version of you with a ghost hunting kit?
Oh,
and I'm asking both of you, like, what do you say?
Oh. I mean, I'll jump in real quick because my son has recently started and I don't know, but he's always been very sensitive. I know, Rich. And I don't know because also he's just turned 6 and they have wild imaginations about ghosts and monsters and all the things. So I don't know.
Take it seriously.
But I take it seriously. And that's the difference. Thank you. I'm like, my mom just blew it off as my imagination. It might be. But I keep telling him, I believe him. I just say, I believe you. Show me where they are. What do they look like? What are they saying? What is, and I ask questions. And I just try to normalize it. And I don't know. I'm honestly trying to figure out how to do it right. Because I didn't have that. I was just told, stop it.
Have you ever experienced something that he is experiencing? Like, oh, I see it too.
I don't know. I will say what was really funny is, I mean, broader picture, not funny, but during the fires, we went to my relatives in the desert because we were in the evacuation zone in Encino. And then Bill had to get back to work. So he went and stayed at the Hollywood Roosevelt. Because it's close to like studios or the
of
Universal,
all the
whatever.
Places.
I know.
The most haunted hotel
in the Maryland suite.
Right. And by the way, that was always because we lived right down the street before we moved from there. So that was always like when our power would go out, that's where like where we would go. So it's like almost like, but I'm like, yes, it's like the most like magically ghosty place. And so he was alone the first night he called me and he was like, I am not joking. He called me the next morning, freaked out. He was like, there's a ghost in this room. And
of
I was like, what are you talking about? I'm like, tell me everything. And he was like, I woke up because my body like rolled to the middle of the bed. And he was like, I literally felt it. And I woke up and he was like, I was like in the middle of the bed, like rolled over. And he goes, that was weird. And he started to doze off. And he's like, it was like someone sat down and then got up. And he goes, my body just went like back to the other side of the bed.
Yeah.
Like the weight had like lifted. And I'm like, yes. And it was room 111, which, by the way, just like the juju.
You know,
I don't know, but it was good juju. I don't know. So then I'm like, we're coming. So we get there
We're going to stay there with you.
I'm like, by the way, my family, everyone was going crazy at my family's house. My cousins were there. I'm like, this is like chaos. I got to get out of here anyways. So we're going back. So we go. I go, like, we, Bill's at work. Hoyt and I get there. We check in. We get to the room. I'm like, I need a shower. So I get in the shower. Hoyt comes running in the bathroom. And he goes, something just whispered in my ear. And I was like, what? And he goes, I'm telling you, a ghost whispered in my ear. He's like six. And I'm like, well, what did it say? He goes, I don't know. It's just like, psh. I was like, okay. And then I got out and I'm not joking. I felt something like on my shoulder and I was like, okay. And I could hear, you know, like Cindy, you get like, you get the feeling, chills. Like I got like a buzzing. And like the whole body. And when I was standing by the window and I was like, if I was able to focus more, but I wasn't because he was running around and I was stressed out. So I wasn't able to get like the full picture, right, but there was something going on. So I don't know. I don't know. We'll see with him.
Wow. Okay. Room 111. And looks like Hoyt might have mom's talents.
You might. We'll see.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm a little jealous because we stayed at the Roosevelt Hotel and got nothing.
We've stayed nothing. Many, many times and have had nothing. This is the first time. So you're not alone. This is the first time we got something.
So there's in the podcast that I did, Investigating Mediums, based on Julie Beischel's book, there was a lot of talk about the difference between a medium and a psychic, and or what a psychic reading is compared to what a medium reading is. Can you guys let us know kind of where you fall, 20% psychic, 80% medium, 50-50? How does it work?
Good question. At least for me, I describe it as like, you know, levels. It's like a mediumship reading is up here and a psychic reading is down here. So a mediumship, a psychic reading is more soul to soul or like person to person. Like a psychic reading is going to read, like, I'm going to read you, Rich. I'm going to read your aura or your past, present, and future. Whereas a mediumship reading, I'm going to be reading spirit. I'm going to be reading angels. I'm going to be reading spirit that has passed. So it's more of an elevated kind of a higher level reading. So it's a higher energy, whereas a psychic reading is more of a lower level energy. And I'm not saying it's a energy that is lower. It's just a lower level from a mediumship reading.
Do people come in requesting one or the other, and are you able to adjust?
They do. I usually only book mediumship readings. Sometimes when I book mediumship readings, they turn into psychic readings. And sometimes, like, spirit will give me, like, let's just say, you know, Maria comes in asking for a mediumship reading, and the grandma comes in, and grandma comes in and will tell Maria about her new job, saying, you know, her new job is not really a good job, you know, or her new job, where she's going to be getting a offer of a new job, another job that's coming in to play. But that's like from her spirit grandma, you know, so it's not really a psychic reading. It's more like spirit is telling her something better is coming for you in the future. That's my experience. I don't do a lot of psychic readings as much as I do mediumship reading. It does sometimes turn into a psychic reading though.
Colleen?
Yeah, it's funny. I was so scared of psychic readings because I felt like I could only do mediumship.
Yeah, me too.
I like deathly afraid of like doing a psychic reading. I was like, that's impossible. But then you realize because you are reading. Like you said, it's different. It's just at a like a lower frequency or something. Mm-hmm. It's not that it's low. It's just, it's so much easier actually. Like it really is easier. I just didn't understand how to fully tap into it. So yeah, mediumship takes, you have to get to such a higher place. It is more energy. You got to like really be in tune and get there. Psychic, I think, is it's a much easier read. However, it's a much more complicated read. So
yes,
I do a lot of mediumship. I do a lot of psychic readings. I have learned the psychic readings are really tricky because mediumship is very kind of clear cut to me. It's like you bring in the spirits. It's very healing. It's a whole experience, and then it's done. Psychic readings, you're tapping into all this stuff that people are dealing with and the struggles and where they want to be, but they can't be, and like they can't get to yet. And they, how to figure out, like everyone's kind of in the mess of their life. And it's, I think it can be really helpful, but it's a struggle that's turned into something. My struggle with it for a long time was that people want a magic, like they want you to be a wizard.
Yes.
So it's like, okay, tell me, okay, here's my life's a shit show, or I can't get a job, or I can't find the right relationship, or whatever it is. Yes. And fix it. Like, yes. Tell me the name of the guy to go meet that's going to get me this job, or tell me where to go or who to call so that I can get the money. And I'm like, it doesn't work like that. But everyone wants this like magic quick answer, this magic wand. And so, which just launched me into this next thing I've been building towards for a long time, which is I'm doing intuitive coaching. Because of this exact reason, I do these readings, these psychic readings, and I see is the possibilities of where they can be. Like I see the path, I see the beauty in like where their life can be. But the problem is they can't get there without themselves getting themselves there. I can't put them there. So it's like they have so much healing to do, and they have to work on these different areas, and I can pinpoint that stuff. But they actually have to do the work to get there. And that's what's really tricky. So yes, mediumship is much easier.
Yeah, there's a responsibility. There's a responsibility for a psychic reading that a lot of people come in and give you the responsibility of, like, tell me what to do.
Fix me.
They want you to, and then they'll come in like 3 months, like, I want another reading with you.
No, another reading, and another reading.
And you have to at some point say, sorry, I'm not, I can't give you another reading because
it's not ethical at that point.
You're too dependent on what I'm saying. And there's a ethical point where it's like, it's not, you can't depend on me to tell you what to do with your life.
And also they're coming back and back and back looking for you to say something different. And you're never going to get, you're always getting from spirit. It's the same answer. They just have to get themselves there. Right. Like it's tricky. Yeah.
Okay. Now the two of you have talents that we don't have. And I'm wondering if it gives you a different feeling personally about what life is and what life after death might be.
Oh. That's a good question.
I mean, I can jump in. Do you want me to?
Yeah.
It absolutely does. For me, I have zero fear of death. What I want for the people that I love is to understand what I understand. And I feel like that's just knowing that we're still like, these spirits are still, your loved ones are so much around. They see, they hear, you call them in, they're right there. Like you're still so connected. And this dimension, this plane, where they're at is so close. It's not that far away. We're all so still very connected. And so to me, it's like my sadness around death comes with, if the people I love don't see that, because if they see that, then there's the fear minimizes exponentially across the board with everyone you're around. So it's really helped me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's true. I think, my fear of death comes from the sadness that everybody else is going to experience, you know, like I know my children and my husband and my siblings and my father right now would be devastated, you know, if I passed. I know that I would haunt my husband. We've already got this pact that if we passed, that we would haunt each other, that we would let each other know that we're around, and that we would, you know, let each other know that we're we're alive still, or that we're, our spirit survives. So we've got a pact going. So yeah, I feel peace that I know my mom still is around, and that if I need her, I recently had minor surgery on my hand, and I was really calm knowing that my mom was going to be protecting me through the anesthesia. And that's kind of what I texted everybody. It's okay. I'm good. My mom's watching me. She's taking care of me. So
can I ask you guys a real personal question, just coming from me? Mm-hmm. One of my fears about death is that I will say that I really love my life and I'm having a great life and I like the people in it, yeah, and the things in it. And there's something, sometimes I think about death and I think, I feel very sad, like, well, it's going to be like moving and I'm going to leave all this and everyone I know behind, and I'll be in some place where I don't know anyone and I don't know the rules, and all the things that I liked and enjoyed are going to be gone. How do you respond to that?
I mean, I would venture to say it's going to feel even better when you're gone. Yeah. You're going home. So this to you as a human and as like a body feels like home. When you get into the soul space and you're going back, that is home times a trillion. You are going to feel so comforted and loved, and all the things and the people and the souls that you've connected with in the past, that's going to be there. You're not going to feel the sense of loss that our brains and all the things the body is telling you you're going to feel.
Yeah.
Doesn't exist. It's going to be very lovely.
And so would you say that you feel that people get to see the people they want to see? In other words,
absolutely.
My family that has passed on, my family that will pass on, I do get to see them?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And if when I'm in a reading for somebody and feeling the sensations of being whole and feeling what the person that has passed, the spirit that has passed, when I'm reading for somebody, is even a fraction of what the person that has passed, the spirit that has passed, feels, is just a fraction of what it is. I can't imagine what it feels to be one with the universe, or one with the universe whole again. If I can only feel a fraction of it, is, it's amazing. What I feel after a reading, or what I feel like during a reading, is amazing. So if it's only a fraction of what I can feel once you pass, I can't imagine how beautiful it is as part of the universe.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. That actually makes me feel much better. You guys have been so great. I'm so glad you came on the show. This is a dream come true. Before we leave though, Cindy, you do a YouTube show with Scott called Ghost Tourists, which I've seen and which I love so much. It's so funny and it's adorable. You guys are the best. What is this?
So Scott and my husband and I, Scott Peterson, we do a show called Ghost Tourist. It's a YouTube channel, and we travel to different locations and we just go see everything that's supposed to be haunted, like in the area. So we, I know. So we're just planning a trip right now to go to Victoria in Canada. And he's looking up all the haunted places in Canada. And so we're going to travel and just go and visit them and record. And, you know, we just like to go look at spooky places, and then we put them on YouTube and my husband edits them together, and we have a lot of fun. We're empty nesters now. Our kids are grown, and, you know, we started this project together and we're having so much fun doing it. And
it's really funny. They're short. They're just really like short, 5 minutes long, but they're really
5 to 10 minutes.
But they're really funny and really well produced, and it does make you want to go places. It's like, oh, we should go places.
And then we've got it.
Go. I'm blown away.
It's YouTube Ghost Tourist 2023. So it's at Ghost Tourist 2023 on YouTube. And we have a website, and on the website there's actually like every city, like we're at season 2 is Washington DC, and there's actually itineraries. So you can like addresses, and it's got like it's got you know, places to go and links for tickets to go see wherever, everywhere you want to go. And it's a lot of fun. We're having a lot of fun doing it. And go to the web, the YouTube channel, and subscribe. We need people to see us. We're having a lot of fun.
Great.
And I get hits when I get to these places. I'm like, yeah, this place is haunted. I can feel it.
I know. I see you doing it. And it's like, oh,
Colleen, no, Bill and I like, no, I'm just like dying inside because Bill and I like love watching this stuff. I can't even believe you're doing it. Can we come on one?
Yes. We want it. We actually envision
like a double date, like ghost hunting.
We envision having visitors like on our ghost tourist trips, you know, like,
yes,
like guests, so ghost tourists, you know.
Yes.
It's at Ghost Tourist 2023 on YouTube. Oh my God, channel.
I'm so excited.
I
love this.
It's really fun. Now, Colleen, now you're doing readings right now. I'm doing readings
and I'm doing intuitive coaching and I'm doing all the things. I'm in it, baby.
How do people get in touch?
My email. I have a calendar. I have a booking site.
All of this will be in the show notes. There'll be links to Ghost Tourist, and there'll be links to Colleen's.
Can I give you my link to my booking site?
Yeah, please go ahead. Please let everyone know.
Okay. Well, do I have to spell it out, or do I just send it to you?
I thought you're going to message it. Yeah, you can send it to me anytime you want. I thought, do you want to say it out loud?
Say it out loud, Colleen. So people can write it down.
You can say it. This is an audio medium. People are listening with their ears right now, like Claire.
Okay, I'm on. Okay, guys. I'm on Calendly. Calendly.
Oh God.
Calendly.com/intuitive sessions. There you go. That's me.
Wait, Calendly/intuitive sessions. But the word Colleen is not a part of any of this.
Not on the site. Not on my booking site.
Okay. Well, you guys, listen, if you want to get in touch, I'm talking to the audience now.
Okay.
Come to the website, Richard Haddam's Paranormal Bookshelf. Come to the episode. Look at the show notes. It'll all be there. We've done this before. I've sent you all to healers in Wales. You know how to do this. So you know how to get in touch. All right? All right. I want to thank Cindy Valenzuela and Colleen McKinney so much for joining me here. This has been so great, you guys. Thank you.
So fun. Thank you for having us.
So much fun. Thank you, Rich.
And will you come back one day?
Sure.
Always. Anytime. Right.
We will hear more. All right. Thank you so much.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Oh my God, there you go. Cindy and Colleen, God, two amazing people. And like I said, check out the show notes on the website to get their contact information about everything they do. Thank you guys for joining me. I will see you on the next few bonus episodes and when season 3 begins on its new date of June 13th. See you then. Richard Haddam's Paranormal Bookshelf is presented by Astonishing Legends, 134 West, and Summerland Entertainment. Executive producers, Scott Philbrook, Forrest Burgess, and Susan Lambert. Our associate producer is Tess Feifel, and our sound designer, engineer, and editor is Kevin Ducey. Artwork is by Tommy Beaver, website is by Kayla Lord, and our music, as always, is by Nima Kazaruni. Until next time, be safe and be well, find the light in the dark, and we'll see you again soon.